God, I want to thank you for this morning. I want to thank you for a chance to come together on a Sunday morning before we should probably even be awake and getting to hang out with you and hang out with each other and check out your word and worship you a little bit and just be together, God. And so thanks for that opportunity. Pray your blessing on this morning, God, and speak your words. Let us leave here a little bit changed, a little bit more like you. And praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So they've been sitting at the table for the past 2 weeks now, and they've been eating. And last week something funny happened. Jesus was there, and so were all of his disciples, all 12 of them, and they're just kind of eating. They're getting ready to lounge, and Jesus does something weird. He kind of takes off the outer his coat, and he puts a towel around his waist, and he goes around and he takes a bucket of water, and he goes and he washes all their feet, and he goes one by one and he's washing their dirty, muddy feet, and he gets to Peter, and Peter says, "Ah, that's not gonna happen, dude," and Jesus says, "Well, unless I wash your feet, you got no part in me. You can't be part of my kingdom." And so he's like, "Well, fine then, wash, you know, my feet, then wash my hands and my head too." And he says, "Your feet are good. You're clean, but you just need to get your feet washed." And so he goes through and he washes all of them, and that's what we talked about a little bit last week. And between last week's story and this week's story, this is what happens. Jesus had just washed all their feet, and they're chatting around the dinner table, and Jesus starts to get a little serious on them, and he's like, "Hey, you know, my time's coming to an end, but I want to tell you guys something. There's one of you guys around here that's going to betray me." And Bryant said I should say it like they do in Halo: betrayal. You know what I'm saying? A bunch of guys came over last night, and we played Halo till way too late last night. But anyways, and you know, talk goes around the table. Who is it going to be? Who's it going to be? So John, who wrote the book, who also describes himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved, which I thought was kind of funny, he kind of leans back to Jesus and he's like, "Hey, Jesus, like, who's the one that's going to betray you?" And Jesus says, "Well, I'm going to dip this bread and hand it to the one who's going to betray me." And so this is kind of this little private conversation that's going on over here between these two guys. And Jesus takes bread and he dips it and he hands it to Judas. Judas takes it from him and eats it. And then Jesus says, "Go do what you got to do." And Judas gets up and leaves. And the rest of the disciples are like, "Huh, he must have been going to buy more food or something." And so that's what's happened between last week and this week. And this week we're in John. If you got a Bible, you can turn there if you want. Chapter 13, starting in verse 31. When he was gone, that's when Judas was gone after he took out. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you: love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." And then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. So Judas has just booked it out of the room. Judas has just booked it out of the room, and Jesus, you know, he goes back to getting a little bit serious, and he's like, "Hey, I'm taking off soon, you're not going to be able to follow me." And they're like, "Well, what do you mean?" And he's like, "Well, I'm going. And he's talking about God being glorified and God glorifying him. And he's like, yeah, I'm going. You're not going to be able to follow me now. But you'll be able to follow me later. And then he says this. He says, I forget what he says. He says, I'm giving you a new command. Love one another. He's like, if you want people to know that you follow me, then love one another. And that's how they'll know. And notice what happens. Right after that, Peter says, Lord, where are you going? It's kind of this little side note that's kind of tucked away in this conversation. Have you ever had someone in your family leave from you, move from you, move away? I remember my cousin, we kind of grew up, we're kind of like brothers, and we would hang out all the time and ride dirt bikes together and shoot cats with BB guns together and, you know, other crazy things like that. And we hung out all the time. And I remember when he told me that he was moving to Idaho, my first thought was, why are you moving to Idaho? It's Idaho. Anybody ever been to Idaho?
Awesome.
I know. Just kidding. It's so awesome. No, it's not. I'm just kidding. No, I'm not. But seriously. Seriously. What's cool about it? I've been to Coeur d'Alene.
Craters of the Moon.
That's true. Craters of the Moon is cool, actually. All right, anyways. I'm like, why are you going to Idaho? And it just, like, it hit me. It's like my brother, he's, like, leaving, you know? And, like, nothing else kind of mattered. It was kind of like that, you know? Jesus is like, hey, I'm not going to be around very much longer. And then it just hits you in the gut. And you just can't really focus on anything else. And then Jesus says, hey, I'm giving you a new command, though. Hey, love one another. And it seems like Peter just kind of missed all that. There's this section where Jesus is saying, a new command I give you, love one another. You know, that's how people know that you're followers of me. And Peter's just like, whoa, wait. Where are you going? You're taking off? You're not going to be around anymore? And so Jesus kind of answers him. But I want to go back to what Jesus said in that little section that Peter kind of skipped right over, because I think it's something that's key for us. You know, we talked about a while back, a couple weeks ago, that, you know, when Jesus came into Jerusalem, it was the beginning of the end. This is the last week of Jesus' life. The things that he says and the things that he does during this week in his life are the most important things that he says and does throughout his life. And so that's why we're kind of going through this. And we talked about how he kind of came into Jerusalem like a king, and everybody's laying palm branches down and singing songs. And he doesn't come in riding a stallion with his army behind him. He comes in riding on a donkey with 12 disciples who were fishermen and common people. And it was this kind of anticlimactic thing. And yet, now they're reclining. Now they are at the table, and now Jesus is talking to them. And he's saying, hey, there's something I got to tell you. There's a new command for you. Love one another. This is how people will know that you're my followers. Love one another. And I was thinking about this. Check it. This is the thing that hit me when I read this. This is the thing that hit me. Verse 34, a new command to give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And I was thinking about it. How has he loved them up to this point? Anybody have any ideas? What does it look like? He washed their feet. Check this out. This is what Bryant talked about last week in chapter 13, the very first verse. Just before the Passover feast, Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Now listen, having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love for them. And how did he do that? He took off his jacket and he wrapped a towel around his waist and he got down on the ground And he took their dirty, disgusting feet and he wiped them clean. And he went and he did that for each and every one of them, all 12 of them. And he wiped them all clean. And I was thinking about it. As Jesus loved the disciples, so we're supposed to love each other. So, I need one of you guys to come up here and wash my feet right now. Any takers? That's my point. That's my point, you see. I've been thinking about this. This hit me really hard last night at about 1 o'clock in the morning just after playing Halo 3 for way too long. And I was reading through this right before I went to bed and I'm like, oh my gosh. How's anybody going to know that I'm a follower of Christ? If I'm supposed to have a love like that for the people, for you guys and for the people that are down there during the services, if I'm supposed to have a love like that, how's anyone going to ever know? But we just talked about it. This is some of the most important things that Jesus says in his whole life. Love each other as I have loved you. I wanted to do the reason that I had Jackie go kind of beforehand is I think what Jackie did in doing this bike ride and trying to raise money to help search for the cure for cancer and just everything that you know, the Livestrong Foundation or whatever is doing for this stuff. I think this is kind of along those lines in loving in this ridiculous, humble, here it is, here I am, you know. She literally put her body on the line to help some other people, to love some other people. And I'm trying to think of examples. I was thinking about it this morning when I woke up. I'm like, man, it'd be cool if I just had a story where I was like, yeah, you know, I did this for someone else, and it was just, you know, it was what Jesus was talking about. You know, I'm having a really hard time coming up with something.
You know, it can be something simple, though, when you think about it. It's like doing things for your parents or your brother or sister, you know, if somebody's sick in your family.
Totally.
Giving them something to eat or helping them or whatever.
Totally.
Not like you have to go out and run a race or anything. You
totally.
Do something and have a good attitude.
Absolutely.
That's the
absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Good day.
But, and getting paid bank for it. What's up? Takes away all my, you know, all the good things, but I'm banked, you know, I'm rich. But anyways, I was thinking about it and I was thinking about, you know, I coach over at Pally and I coach basketball over there. And what Pally? Anybody? Yeah. Two and a gun. Three and a gun. And it's kind of funny when I go over there on campus and I start to meet some new people and, you know, it eventually comes, hey, so, like, what do? Like, are you still in high school? No, I'm not in high school. Oh, so you're in college? No, I'm not in college. You know, so, oh, do you, like, you know, do you have a girlfriend? No, I'm married. So what do you do for a job? Well, I'm a pastor. What? Yeah, I'm a high school pastor. You don't seem like pastor, what? Where's your, like, suit and glasses and your giant Bible that you carry around under your arm all the time? Like, yeah, I left it in the car. It's huge, though. but it's funny because I'll have conversations with kids at Pally who don't know a whole lot about Christianity, and I'm like, hey, so, like, what are your thoughts? Like, you guys know this, right? You could probably tell me right now, like, what do people that you who you know, what do they have to say about Christianity? What do they think about Christians and Christianity and all that? Somebody throw something out. Judgmental? Don't know how to have fun? What else? Closed-minded, what? Stubborn. Yeah, like, and on and on. We could sit here and go on and on and on about what people think about Christians and Christianity. And yet, the sad thing for me was, is when I was reading this last night, oh my gosh. We're known for being judgmental or closed-minded or stubborn. We're not known for our crazy love and devotion to one another. Now, here's the kind of a funny thing. Like, we're supposed to love non-Christians just like we love ourselves. And we're supposed to make an effort to do that. And we need to do that. And that's a huge, you know, I was originally going to talk about evangelism today. What's the best way to evangelize? It's to love. It's to love other Christians. It's to love non-Christians. It's to love the people around you. But that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about your brothers and sisters in Christ. This is talking about us right here in this room. And I was thinking, how crazy would it be if we just decided, you know what? We're going to kind of take this a little bit seriously. And, you know, we're going to just love each other like Christ loved the disciples. So that means when there's some dirty work to be done, we'll be doing the dirty work. Or when somebody's really going through something, we're going to go ahead and walk through it with them. Or when somebody shows up and they're just stinking, we're going to hose them down, you know. Not to mention any names, but Kelly, we right after. I got the hose ready. But what would this, I mean, honestly, like, what would this room look like if we just decided, hey, you know what? Forget it. Who cares? We're just going to love each other like Christ loves disciples. For example, and you guys throw this out, you know, from now on, I just want you guys, I'm going to keep mentioning this every time I'm up here, but from now on, anytime you have a question, you throw up a hand and you ask a question, even if I'm in the middle of a big point, or even if you have a better example than I give, you throw up your hand and you give that example. Or if you just have something to tack on, you throw up a hand and you tack it on. Or if I say something that you don't really agree with, you throw up a hand and say, well, I'm not sure if I agree with that. Fair? Fair. Now I forgot what I was going to say. Yeah. Thanks. You can smell me from there? That's pretty bad. Yeah. I guess so. But what would it look like if we decided we were just going to love each other? I mean, it would mean that, hey, no more, we're not going to be gossiping, talking bad about somebody in this room behind their back. It would mean that when we joke with each other, we don't put each other down in our joking. That's a hard one for guys, I think. For me, even. You know. It would mean that if someone needed help with something, we'd jump in and help them. It would mean if somebody was failing a class that we're kind of good at, we'd volunteer to jump in. It mean if somebody needs a ride, we'd give them a ride. It mean, you know, what else? What else? Somebody, anybody. There's tons of things it would mean. But what would it be like if we just decided, hey, forget it. We're just going to love each other. You know, I think I talk with a lot of you guys. I talk with a lot of high schoolers that don't come to church. I talk with a lot just of high schoolers around town that I've met along the way. And I got to tell you, the one thing that keeps coming up over and over and over is that people need people to care about them and to want to hear what they have to say, right? I mean, you can see this, the huge rise in like MySpace and Facebook. What's that all about? Being able to have a community of people that care about you, right? That you can communicate with, that you can relate to. That's what that's all about. What about IMing? Same thing, right? And And it just comes up over and over and over. And there's people in this room right now who feel like they don't belong anywhere, who feel like they don't have any good friends, who feel like that there's nobody in this room that really cares about them. Or maybe just one or two people. And I kind of want to challenge us to be a ministry where we just love each other. Like a ridiculous kind of love. Hey, you know what? I'm going to get down on the ground and wash your feet. Like, I'm going to do it. Yeah, it's going to look dumb. Yeah, people are going to be like, what are you doing? That's what happened to Jesus, right? Peter was like, what are you doing? Like, this is a little weird. You're washing my feet right now. Seriously? Yeah. Do it. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And we've talked about this a lot before, kind of piggybacking on that, that's a good point, is it possible for you to love someone who's seemingly unlovable? Is it possible for you to love me without knowing that you're Jedediah? I know some of you freshmen don't really know what that's about yet. We'll get there. But Jedediah means loved by God. See, that's the kind of the thing that lets us love each other. What's the deal with the disciples and Jesus, right? Jesus spent all this time with the disciples. Jesus spent all this time hanging out with them and teaching them things and you know, making food come out of nowhere and just sharing kind of experiences with them and camping out with them and all this stuff, right? And so they knew, hey, you know, even when they screwed up, Jesus was like, well, yeah, you're, you know, he told Peter, get behind me, Satan, right? He called him the devil. But even then, he's still, you know, it's obvious to the disciples that Jesus loves them. That's why Jesus can say to them, go out and love other people. So without knowing that God loves you, despite what you've done, despite what you've thought, despite where you've been, without knowing that, there's no way that you can love other people with this kind of ridiculous, I'm going to wash your feet kind of love. Right? What else? Do we want to add to that? Somebody think that's ridiculous? Nobody? Nobody think that's ridiculous? I think it's a little bit ridiculous. What else would that look like, though? Jump in. Help me out. What, I mean, this is back then. They walked around in the mud, walked around in the dirt. That's why they had to wash their feet. What about today? Yeah. Absolutely. That's huge. What else?
before I published, and I just had my phone to find books, and it was my classes. I was sharing about it, I got my daughter's 7 years, and she paid for that a lot of my time. She was like, that quarter was like $600 of books, and it was just ridiculous. And one of the guys, and like, he's another author, and I said, I'm going to get a check for that. I was like, my mom for the crying, I pulled it over from me, she was like, just shocked, you know, and felt bad and sad that they couldn't help provide that way, but, you know, Chris was doing it, and he was like,
yeah. It's just amazing. That's awesome. I've had some experiences like that too. I've shared with you guys before kind of how I grew up and stuff, and just growing up super poor, and my dad got hurt, and he was out of work for a year and a half, and a lot of times we didn't know what we were eating at night for dinner, and groceries would just kind of show up out of nowhere. And so kind of the same, similar kind of experience there. I wanted to spend most time on that because it's just something that really hit me. I don't know. I kind of feel like I used to be good at that, about loving in just kind of ridiculous ways, in that kind of the older I've gotten, now I'm just kind of ancient, but, you know, the older I've gotten, the worse job I've done at that. And I kind of want to go back to that, and I want to make that a priority because, you know, yeah.
You know, also, like, everybody's got something that they do really well. And it could be something as simple as making a friendship bracelet for somebody, mm-hmm. or whatever. It's like if you know how to cook, if you know how to make friendship bracelets, if you know how to clean, you know, it's just like...
Come clean my house.
Yeah. Just use what you've got and kind of like, you know, kind of figure out where you can use it.
Yeah, absolutely. I won't be able to find anything. Yeah.
Well, you're asking us to think about, like, the difference between their time and our time, like, for them, they're walking in the dirt all the time. I think something that's really deep for us is, like, time consumption. And, like, we're always really, really busy, and we're always, like, entertaining ourselves with things. And I think a huge deal is just, like, taking time out for other people. And that can be, like, a huge way to love on people that, like, we may not even understand. That's just, like, giving people the time of day.
Huge. That's a really big one. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's huge. Like, Christy actually did a really good job of this a couple days ago. You know, I've kind of been sitting home lonely because Allison's been gone. She kind of hung out with me for a little bit a couple days ago. Yeah, okay. Well, we helped each other out then. That's kind of pathetic. that's a really big one. It just, like you said, like, it's so busy, and I don't know if you've had somebody who just kind of took time out of their day and had other stuff they could be doing, but came and hung out with you. You didn't really do much, or maybe you did, I don't know. But it means a lot, and it's a huge way to love on people. And it's something that doesn't... See, what I like about that is it's something that doesn't happen out there very often. Is people, they get caught up in their own thing, right? They're doing their jobs 60 hours a week, and they're doing, you know, whatever that it is that they're doing. And they don't take time out to just kind of hang out with somebody very often. And so what I like about that idea is that it's just, hey, you know, we're going to live a little bit different. Yeah, there's other things that are kind of important, but this is the most important. Jesus commanded it. It's the new command that he gives us. And it's how that people will recognize us as disciples. So that's good. Like prayer and spending time with people. I just kind of want to mention the end of this story. Jesus gives this little new command. I give you, love each other. That's how people will know that you're my followers. And Peter kind of skips over it. He doesn't even, he kind of just like, didn't hear anything between I'm taking off and leaving and where are you going? And Jesus says, well, you can't follow me right now, but you'll be able to follow me later, which doesn't turn out to be a very good thing for Peter. But Peter says, I will never leave you. I will lay down my life to follow you. And Jesus says, you know, I wish it were true, but you're going to deny me three times before this is over. And it's kind of setting the stage. You know, we kind of all know the story already, but it's setting the stage for what's going to happen, for this awesome picture of what happens between Jesus and Peter. So three times he's going to deny him before it's all over. I'm going to close in prayer right now, but as you kind of go throughout the rest of the day, I think it's too much to ask you to think about this throughout the week, but maybe not. If it's not for you, then do it. But for the rest of the day, you know, maybe at least a couple more times somewhere throughout the day, think about this. What would it mean if we had a love for each other the way that Jesus loved his disciples? This kind of ridiculous, I'm going to get down and dirty with you kind of love. So, God, thanks for this little passage here, God, and for what it's done in my life already, and what it's meant to me, God. I thank you that you did this. It's kind of this weird little story of you washing disciples' feet and then telling us to go do the same. And God, show us what that means. Show us how to do that. Show us how to love each other and the people around us, God. We want people looking in on us to say, hey, you know what? I know that they follow Jesus because of their love for each other. God, I pray that we would be a group and a ministry and a church that would really take that to heart, that would really go out of our way to love each other and to show each other how much we care about each other and to make a big effort not to gossip and to put people down and to exclude people and to leave people out, but also to make a huge effort, God, to build people up and to talk good about people behind their backs and to include people who are normally excluded, God, in what we're doing. And just pray that you would show us how to do that. God, we thank you for who you are, for your deep love for us. And God, out of that love for us, help us to love the people around us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And kind of just in closing, you know, we've talked about this before, but how we relate to one another matters. How we relate to each other, it really matters. It matters to the people that we're relating to, and it matters to God.